Blog Talk Radio.
Amazing grace.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends say, let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me, around for me, around for me, it's turning around.
Just say it into the atmosphere.
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is.
God is making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
No reason to doubt.
I know he's working it
out.
And it's turning around.
This is the good news.
And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concern. And sooner or later, it'll turn in my favor.
Sooner or later, turn in my favor.
It's turning around. Concerning me, and sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Sooner or later,
turn in my favor.
Just lift your hands to the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround. Hallelujah. Now let's say this together. Come on.
Around for me.
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 It's turning around.
I
can feel it happening.
Around for me.
Around for me.
sooner or later.
It's gonna turn.
Turn in my favor.
Oh, claim it tonight. Puppy. Claim it. Claim it.
Turn
Glory.
In my favor. I'm learning to step in.
Welcome,
it's turning
family.
Turning around for me. For me.
The prophet's closet. Come on in.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you. You've just entered into the prophet's closet. I am your host. Well, let me just say this. I'm the co-host. Jesus Christ is the host. We're here on a very special night, Tuesday night. I believe this may be close to the last Tuesday of the month. I think we have one more Tuesday left in this month. I do believe that. Have to check my calendar here real quick, just real quick here. I do believe, yeah, you got one more. That's the 30th, which is next week. But today is a very special day. I wanted to talk very candidly, and I asked Pastor E. This is like my theme song. It's turning around for me. I believe that the body of Christ need a turnaround. I believe that there are people who are listening to me right now under the sound of my voice. You need a turnaround. There's some things that is inside of you that has been festering in you that you're saying, I need this thing to turn around. I need my finances to turn around. I need my health to turn around. I need my marriage to turn around. I need my relationship to turn around. I need my children to turn around. I need family members to be turned out. I don't hear nobody on the line tonight. I need some things in my life to turn around because I'm at a very pivotal point in my life. And guess what, y'all? There's some things that are at the doorway waiting on me, and it's waiting on me to turn around from some things. Oh, my goodness. I got to turn around from some bad relationships in order for God to bless me with some good relationships. I got to turn around from some business deals that didn't mean me know well to turn to some good business relationships where I'm creating some things. I need some things to turn around in my life because my life is at stake here. Oh my God, let me slow down here. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We give you praise for the things that you are about to do and the things that you are turning around, God. And Lord, I speak to the atmosphere of each and every individual that is on here tonight. And I ask God that your spirit, your deity, God, begins to move and shift some things in their airways, Father God, that will turn them around, Father. Lord, I thank you right now that they are escaping the hands of the enemy because of the turnaround, God. Woo! God, I thank you. Lord, I give you the praise. I give you the honor and the glory. And Lord, may you be glorified through the teachings tonight and that your people be edified, Father. Lord, I come in the name of you, Father, that you will use me as a vessel to speak to your people tonight. And Father, I thank you. As Ephesians 4 and 11 speaks about that you gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and some teachers and some evangelists and for the equipping of the saints, God, for the edifying of the body, Lord, that they can be edified through us, Father, not be torn down. And Father, I want to encourage somebody tonight, God, that this is the greatest night of your life, that God is getting ready to turn some things around for you. He's getting ready to turn around for you. And I want to come to you all once again from the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. I want to talk about David. I want to talk about how David had to go through some adversities in order for God and for the people of God to see that there is some things that you can do even when folk don't think you can do it. I believe that I'm speaking to a bunch of people that are listening to me tonight that you are what I call giant killers. But you have got to be in the place, in the right place, where God can use you to now defeat the things that have tried to defeat you all of your life. Don't you know that once you were born, there has been an assignment against you? Because guess what? Now, it don't know nothing about your future. The enemy don't know nothing about your future. But he does know how much God loves you. And what he's trying to do is trying to get you off the railroad tracks going towards God to now be diverted off the tracks. So he does not know anything about your future. So if anybody ever tell you that the devil knows about your future, no, he doesn't. He's not omnipresent. He don't know anything about your future. But he does know how much God loves each and every one of you. And he is deterrent to try to get you to turn away from God. So he tried to throw stumbling blocks in your pathway. He tries to do all kind of things in your family generation, in your ancestral situation. He tries to do everything he can possibly do to deter you from trusting God. But I believe that I'm speaking to a bunch of believers tonight that trusting God, despite what it looks like. Just because you didn't get that contract, that's God just saying this contract was not for you. I got one store for you. Amen. Glory be to God. But it's turning around, people of God. But I want to talk to you about David, how David had went through some adversities. And even in the midst of the adversities, I believe that David always believed in himself. Good God Almighty. Ain't it something that when everybody else don't believe in you, but now you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe that God has put some things inside of you that will transpire you from one place to another place. Oh, shah, glory. I feel the presence of God. I believe that when God begins to move inside of you, the things that you say you can't do, you begin to do, because the Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And then the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's somebody on here tonight. You've been going through some things and you feel as though that is caving in on you. But I want you to know that the greater is in you, and it's time for you to call the greater in you out of you, to tell you that, hey, I can do it. I faced greater challenges than this. I've been through some things greater than this, and this uncircumcised thing right here is nothing compared to what I've already been through. If I defeated it on this side, guess what? I can defeat it on this side, on the other side. I don't hear nobody on the line tonight, but I believe that God is getting ready to do great and mighty things in the lives of the believers. And if you are a believer, you just need to just lift your hands up before God and say, God, I thank you that even though the trial may seem great, you are greater than the trial that I'm going through. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But here's David. David, in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, here's David, a little boy. They say that he was a little boy. He was a shepherd's kid, and he stayed in the field amongst the animals, and he was rejected by his brothers and by his daddy. He's already is facing some adversities. But there's something inside of David that always had to encourage himself in the midst of adversities. And I want to tell somebody that when you are beginning to kill a giant, you have got to know that there's going to be some adversities that you're going to have to overcome. Glory be to God. There's going to be some things that in your life that you're just going to have to move and walk through, because if nobody else walks with you, you just got to know the Holy Spirit is walking with you. Amen. You got to know that God is getting ready to do this great and mighty works inside of you, despite how many negative folk have spoke about you. They talked about you when you were a little kid. They talked about you when you became a teenager. They talked about you when you became a young adult. They talked about you when you became an adult. You've always had people talk about you, adversity after adversity after adversity, but there's something inside of, I've heard that one, God. There's something that is birthed in the midst of adversity. And I believe that what's birthed inside of adversity is what we call strength. Strength is in the inner strength that God begins to give us, that's even in the midst of adversity, that we can know now how to move and shift things even in the midst of adversity. And here's David. David knew how to shift some things out of his way in order to get into the presence of God. David had a daddy who did not accept him, tolerated him, made him do certain things that he did not make the other children do. David had some adversities growing up. He had a daddy that didn't really spend time with him, but he had a father that watched over him. Y'all catch that one in a minute. Amen. You'll catch that one in a minute. For some of you all who didn't have a daddy in your life, you'll catch that one in a minute. Amen. Daddy might have never been there, but the father has always been there. You'll catch that one in a minute. Amen. I ain't charging anything for that one. That one right there is for free. But here's David. David in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I've already been through it on the week before last. Y'all have to get the recording on that one. Amen. But here is David. David had said something that was transpiring to the people. Amen. Because David was one of the ones, even now, can I say this one? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, he's dropping the stuff on me tonight. Amen. Don't you know your greatest adversity that you go and face through in life becomes your greatest victory? What are you saying? If you've been rejected all your life, guess what? Your greatest ministry will become encouragement. There are some things that come out of adversity that now God begins to use for ministry. So if you've been rejected, you become the greatest encourager on the face of the earth. Nobody can encourage people the way you encourage people because you know what it felt like or felt like to be rejected. Oh, man, I'm talking to somebody on here tonight. Amen.
Preach!
Here's David. Oh, God, glory. Thank you. Ista, mato rebe isto robosha. Thank you, God. David, David knew how to encourage himself in the midst of adversity so that when he began to be around the people of God, the children of God, the army of God, the Bible says that David encouraged their hearts. He went to each and every one of them. He says, I know that I'm a boy that's been rejected all of my life, but I want to send some encouragement to you all that if God encouraged me while I was going through my rejection, I'm here to encourage you when you're going through your adversities. Oh, my God. I feel something here, Pastor E. I feel the power of God on the line tonight. David, he said these words right here. Let me get here right here. 1 Samuel 17, verse number 23. And the Bible says, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, a Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the ranks of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the words. David heard them. And now watch this. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. Now watch this. We're going to verse number 26. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killed the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him, and after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Now watch this. Watch what David does. David is so crafty. Go to verse number 29. And David said, he's talking to now his brother Eliab. He said, what have I done now to kindle your anger? I'm trying to encourage these men here. You my older brother. You ain't saying nothing on behalf of God.
Have you ever been around some people, amen, that they have a form of God but deny the power thereof? Oh, good God Almighty. They wear the preacher collars on but can't even deliver a gnat. Y'all don't hear me up in here. Amen. They strut their stuff amongst the pulpit but don't have a relationship with the people. Y'all don't hear me up in here. But here's David. He goes to his brother. He says, you're the oldest of all of us. In so many words, I'm paraphrasing it, put it into my own terminology of how I read the word. Amen. And here's David saying, you're the oldest brother. What have I done to you? I'm the youngest of eight of y'all. I don't see you out here encouraging nobody, but you're trying to downplay me because I'm coming here to tell the people to be encouraged. Where you at, Eli? He could have said that to Eli, but he didn't. David said, man, what have I done to you now? Is there not a cause for this? Amen. Is there not a cause for me to be out here to encourage my brothers, to let them know that despite what you're facing right now, you ain't in this by yourself? I love Pastor E. Pastor E is one of those ones that encourage people. He'll let you know, look here, you ain't in this struggle by yourself. Let me tell you something. If God delivered me, he can deliver you too. Amen. And guess what? I'm going to stay with you in the midst of what you're fighting through because I don't want you to be out here all by yourself. There are some people in the body of Christ that love to just tell people what to do, but don't want to help them get to where they need to get to. You don't hear me up in here. Amen. They leave people on the banisters. They leave people out there on the road. Amen. Folks been ran over. Don't nobody go see about them. And you can't be with somebody who's been in a war and leave them while they're facing the things that they're facing. I got a brother right now listening to me right now named Solomon. Me and Solomon been through we've been through some real friendship. He said I was the only one that really pretty much helped him when he was getting ready to commit suicide. He was getting ready to take his life. He said, but I stood by him. Oh, good God Almighty, that thing encouraged me. I didn't want to let him know right then. I was leaping for joy, but because this man's life was affected by mine. I ain't say infected because you got a lot of people who do infect folks. I-N-F-E-C-T. I'm talking about affect somebody. Amen. When you begin to A-F-F-E-C-T, affect somebody's life to the point they don't want to do what they're getting ready to do. They want to change and turn this thing around. And here's David. David was affecting the people of Israel's life. He was turning their demeanors around to now be encouraged. Be encouraged. You ain't got to fight this battle by yourself. I might be a boy on the outside, but, man, I'm a champion in the inside. I need some champions to stand up tonight. I need you to face your adversities, to tell your adversities, look here, I'm going to win this. You might have won defeated me in the battle, but I'm going to win the war. You better believe that. I'm going to win this war. And I remember telling you all, amen, there was a kid that was a big old bully in my neighborhood by the name of Scott. Scott was the biggest, baddest thing in three or four blocks. Every neighborhood he came through, he terrorized it. When I say this was a big old joker, this was a big old joker. You hear me? Amen. This dude was so huge, I didn't think he was a kid. I thought he was a grown man. Amen. Yeah, I thought he was a grown man. But he was a young kid that just bullied people. But he came on my block, terrorizing. I had a friend by the name of Delbert Smith. Me and Delbert would go way back. He in Houston, Texas right now. Delbert Smith was the littlest thing out there. Scott picked him up like a piece of paper, balled them all up, and threw him in the air. Not just one time, but a couple of times. They came and got me, said, Dwayne, come on, help us, man, help us. I'm looking at everybody like, man, y'all crazy.
like some of y'all be doing when you're facing the challenges of your life. Man, this thing is crazy. Why are they acting like this? Why is this thing going the way that it's going? This is crazy. No, what it is crazy is trying to get your attention and say you're going to have to do something about this. You got family members who are pulling on you. What you going to do? What you going to say to this situation? You got God looking at you saying, son, daughter, I put some things in you. You can't fight. You can't run from this one. You got to fight now. But guess what? You ain't fighting by yourself. You ain't fighting by yourself. Scott said, Dwayne, you're going to fight today. I said, man, I don't want to fight. He said, man, you're going to fight today. He shoved me. I said, no, I don't want to fight, Scott. He said, boy, you're going to fight me today. He pushed me again. I said, I don't want to fight you, Scott. He pushed me again. How many times y'all going to let folk push you? I don't know why I'm going here, Pastor E, but I know this is prophetic. Apostle James Miller, I don't know where I'm going here, but I believe that this is prophetic. Pastor Frank, I don't know why I'm going here. Pastor Sabrina, I don't know why I'm going here, but I believe that this is prophetic. Why are you allowing people to push you? It's time for you now to start doing the pushing. And I ain't talking about it in an arrogant way. I'm just talking about in a way saying that enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm not going to allow you to push me in a corner no longer. I'm not going to allow you to push me to the point where I run away and hide my head into the sand or into my pillow. It's time for me to fight now. So when he pushed me again, I kind of balled up my fists, and I felt something inside of me saying, what are you going to do? Look at all of these people looking at you. They're depending on you. And I'm saying to myself, I'm about the littlest, almost the littlest one out here. I was big, but I wasn't big as Scott. But everybody was depending on me, looking at me. And there are some people that are looking at you, believers. They're saying to themselves, are you going to defeat this giant? Because if you could defeat it, then it encouraged me to defeat my giant. So I looked around at everybody, and everybody, some of the folk were crying. Delbert was crying. I balled up my fist. And after that last push, he didn't push me no more. He didn't push me no more. I was hitting him on one side, ran to the other side because he was a big old dude, ran to the other side, hitting him on that side, ran to the other side, hit him on this side until I broke him down. I was beating him on all sides. And I'm not glorifying what I was doing. But I was pretty much, if I can look at it in this terminology, I was telling the devil, you're not going to come down my block and continue to keep doing this to innocent people. You're not going to keep coming down my neighborhood, my church pews, and down my sanctified aisles with my brothers and sisters and continue to keep doing this to them. I'm going to stand up because it's time to fight now. It's time to fight. And David was that one who said, look here, I come to encourage my brothers out here who are on the battlefield. Verse number 32, David says these words. He said, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. He was referring to Goliath, the giant. He said, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine. See how this stuff could have deterred David? You got the king of Israel over here saying, you ain't nothing but a kid. This is a grown man. Well, see, you got to remember something. Saul was a grown man too. But Saul didn't move or give up his kingship to go and fight this giant that was coming against the children of Israel. It was coming against his army. But he, being the king, did not even take the center stage and say, I'm going down here to fight on behalf of my people. No, he didn't do anything. He sat there, allowed the people hard to get dismayed, and it took this shepherd boy to explain to Saul as he was saying it so eloquently. He says these words to Saul. He said in verse number 34, David said unto Saul, thy servant was keeping his father's sheep, and when there came a lion or a bear, I took and took a lamb out of my flock. I went out after him and smote him. Now what? Now this, you got to realize something here. Listen to how David says this. He said, thy servant was keeping his father's sheep. So he's the protector of this, of the flock that his daddy gave him control over. Now, see, we can go in so many areas in this right here. God is giving you the ability to be a keeper of some people that are in your corner. Ooh, my goodness, or around you. Amen. God is giving you some awesome responsibility to be shepherds over people in your neighborhood, over people in your community. Watch this. Now, watch this. You got to watch this paradigm. Watch this paradigm. Amen. He said, I was a keeper of his father's sheep. And when there came a lion, what is a bear? When there came people who tried to discourage the people of God, because I was the keeper over them, guess what I did? I slew the spirit of the lion that was inside of these people. I slew the spirit of the bear that was, y'all don't hear me. This is a prophetic message, I'm telling you. God is giving all of us awesome responsibilities. He's placed us in over some things and over some people, not just to be hearty heart, amen, or haughty heart, but he placed us over these people to be just like a shepherd, to help them, to nurse them, to protect them. That's why it upsets me so much about these false prophets, these people who give these words to folks as far as stealing their money and all of this other stuff, and all of these people who are in these churches and don't do nothing for the people but want them to be blessed. Don't get me wrong, I love my dad. I want my dad, my apostle, to be blessed. I want him to be blessed. Amen. I gives my money. But guess what? He loves God's people, and he demonstrates it. He shows how much he loves them. David showed how much he loved his sheep, and he would do anything to protect his sheep. And he was explaining to Saul, since you are the king over Israel, you're not doing anything because you don't love the people the way I love them. Good God Almighty. You don't love the people like I love God. And I love what God loves, and I hate what God hates. Oh, y'all don't hear me up in here. And David was telling Saul, he said, I know what you may have seen on the outside, but Saul, you really don't know what's inside of me. Amen. If you knew what was inside of me, you could have discerned very quickly what was in your servant, and you could have seen how I approached you and told you that I'm going down here to fight this thing that nobody else wants to fight. There's some things that you got to fight, people of God. When other folks don't want to fight, you got to fight. When other folks don't want to do it, you got to do it. Because you're not doing it for show and tell. You're doing it because you love God. Ooh. Ah, man, this is some heavy stuff right here. Amen. So he told Saul, he said, Saul, look here, man, I let me tell you what I did to the lion and to the bear that took something from me. I went out after him. I smote him, which I killed him. I delivered it out of the mouth, of his mouth. I delivered my sheep out of his, I took my sheep out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Verse number 36, he says, thy servant smote both. He killed both the lion and the bear. And then he goes to Saul, and I believe he was pointing at the Philistine as he was talking to Saul and saying, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. Now let me go, Saul, because I got to go fight a battle that you don't want to fight. Ooh, that can preach right there by itself. I got to fight a battle that other folks don't want to fight. That's why I love prayer warriors, because prayer warriors going to trenches that other folk don't want to go into. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. This is getting real good to me, but I'm a cut it kind of short here, because I want to open up the lines for everybody on here tonight, because I want to hear from the people of God to tell me that God is going to turn this thing around for you. And then he goes on in verse number 37, says, and David said, Jehovah that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and Jehovah shall be with thee. And Saul clad David with his apparel, and he put the helmet of brass upon his head, and he clad him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his apparel as he said to go, for he had not proved it. David said, man, I can't wear this stuff. This stuff, I ain't blessed this stuff with God. I ain't prayed over this stuff, and I can't wear something that is somebody else's, especially for somebody who didn't want to go down and fight. I can't fight with this stuff because it hasn't been proved yet. Oh my goodness, that's a word. Good God Almighty, that's man, Lord, just dropping some stuff all on me right now, Father. Thank you. He said, man, I can't wear something that you wasn't willing to prove yourself. I can't carry your Bible when you don't even want to carry your Bible yourself. Amen. Whew, my goodness, help me, Jesus. Help me, Father. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these things. I can't go with this stuff, for I have not proved them. They ain't even been proved for battle. This stuff you're giving me, Saul, ain't even worthy for battle. I mess around wearing this stuff. I mess around and get killed wearing this stuff. Amen. Oh, man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. People of God, I just want to encourage some people tonight. I just want to let you know. And y'all know the story of David. You know, David did what he said he was going to do. He didn't care about the adversities of his past. And that's like some of you who are listening to me right now. You are so concerned about the adversities of your past, of your inadequacies of your past. But you got to remember something. The Bible says that when I accepted Christ, I became a new creature. The old things have been passed away. The stuff that I was not adequate with passed away when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. Woo, God, glory, thank you, God. The stuff that people used to talk about me because of what I used to do, matter of fact, it passed away from me when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. The Bible says that old things are passed away. Woo, good God. Y'all should be glad that when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the stigma of your past is not projected in your future. Oh, good God Almighty. You should be glad that when you accepted God, God looked beyond your past faults and your past mistakes and said, I'm still going to crown you with my glory. My God from heaven, thank you. Woo, my God from heaven, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. God didn't look at David's rejection. He didn't look at David's situation that he had between him and his brothers, and he didn't look at David's condition of where he was at. God says, I'm going to use you right where you are. I'm going to show you that you can do this. Even in the midst of humiliation, of walking behind all the animals' dung, amen, walking in piles of manure and all of this stuff, and how your brothers talked about you and how you got the scent of the animals on you. I'm going to allow you to walk in mess so that I can bless you. Ooh, good God Almighty. Lord, let me stop right here now because, Lord, I hear you. I hear you, Father. I hear you. Amen. I want some of y'all to hear me tonight. God would allow you to walk through mess in order just to bless you. He would allow you to go through some heartaches and some trials and tribulations just to let you know how great you really are. Ooh, my Father, thank you. He will allow you to experience some humiliation through family members, and how he would allow your job to put stigmas on you, and how people would talk about you behind your back in order just to set you up for a blessing. My Father, thank you, Jesus. I feel you. I feel you. I'm going to open up the lines right now, Pastor E. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the word, God. Lord, I pray that I've encouraged somebody tonight, God. I pray, God, that you, your deity, has spoke to somebody tonight, God, to let them know that even in the midst of adversities, you can still bless me, Father. It's turning around. Oh, my God, I feel that right there. It's turning around, people of God. It's turning around for you, woman of God, on the line. It's turning around for you, man of God. It's turning around for you, business owner, you entrepreneur. It's turning around for you. Yes, you may have failed 5 or 6 or 7 times in the things that you want to do, but God says, I take pleasure in failure. Y'all don't hear me. Amen. There's some time that you got to fail in order to see that God's hand is still upon you. The Bible says that a just man falls 7 times. A just man, he called him a just man after falling 7 times. You would think that he would got it right, but guess what? He got up every time. He had probably acknowledged God in the midst of him falling and tried to do this thing right. Just because you failed in this area doesn't mean that you're a failure, especially if you start trying to do it all over again. What qualifies you as a failure is when that thing has defeated you and you gave up. Then you are a failure. But if you put your feet gritted into the ground and you begin to get your hands dirty back again and say, you know what, I might have failed, but I ain't going to let this thing defeat me. Sometimes failure is good because it shows what's really inside of you. Amen. Lord knows I failed so many times. But I'm like that just man. I got back up. David has been through so many adversities. This is just a little bit of what David did. We ain't got through everything about David. This is just some little things. But I'm going to open up the lines. Let's open up the lines right now. Father, bless your people tonight. Encourage their hearts tonight, God. Let them know that they are giant killers, Father, and let them know that this thing is turning around for them. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor E, you can open up the line, sir. Amen. All of the...
They are open. Amen. If you are on the line tonight and you want to get in the conversation, go ahead and dial 1. Get into the conversation. Come on, dive in. The word is so powerful and so true. I've seen and been connected to so much recently of going all the way in. Are we really ready to go all the way in? It's a bunch of faking and shaking going on out there. Anybody want to talk about it tonight? Good word, man of God. How are you, man?
Man, I'm good, sir. I'm good. You know, I'm reminded of that song. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around and when I begin to think things over, sir, although my
good days. They outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Come on here. Talk to me up in here,
Bessie. I won't complain. I won't complain.
I won't complain.
That's right. It wouldn't do no good anyway.
Hey, man. Man, it ain't going to do no good. Man, I'm telling you, see, man, look, and in the midst of adversities, man, I don't know what it is about me, but God does something through me in the midst of adversities that I don't allow the adversities to overtake me. I don't allow my shortcomings to knock me off my rocker. It seems like I get a little bit stronger.
They're not
exactly
supposed to. Well,
they're
James said, count it all joy when you fall into
when
not one,
fall,
not two, not three. He said, into various.
Yes.
Various trials, various temptations. So you have to be willing to know that going through isn't always a bad thing. A woman of God preached a sermon on Sunday. It is just all up in my spirit. I got to say this. She said she was given the example of stepping out in faith. And then, you know, once she stepped out in faith, some more stuff started to happen in her life that she was sitting there like, trying to step out in faith again. Just a news break for everybody out there. Once you step out in faith, there ain't no more stepping. You got to stay in faith. There's no more turning around. You step in faith in this. Once you step out in faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you step out in faith once, you better stay in faith or nothing ever worked.
Yes.
That's going to catch up in about 5, 4. Oh, it dropped in 3. Bless you, man of God. No,
yeah.
Well, we definitely have a board full, but nobody's dialing one. We ain't tripping. Good word tonight, man. Pray us out of here, and we're going to reconvene for the 5th Tuesday. I'm asking all alumni men of God from Man of the Movement to come on board for the 5th Tuesday of this month, of this year of 2019. And we're going to have a collaboration of young, old, and everybody. I got the G-Son in the house. Got the son coming out of Houston. I know Prophet Dwayne will be a part. I know, and I'm going to call him out because I see him on the board. I know Pastor Dwayne Collins out of Madison, Wisconsin, to come on board. But I'm going to be calling all week for all my alumni Man Up the Movement brothers to get involved. For next week, this is the 5th week of this year. On the month of July, we're going to take advantage of that. We do have a caller, and I know who this is. This is Minister Charlene. I know she's going to give a shout out to her brother. But God bless you, woman of God. Welcome to the Prophet's Closet. Welcome.
Praise the Lord. God still hearing my voice, but I got a voice to give a shout out. Just wanted to say encouraging word. It was definitely fire, and I got a lot out of it, how God looks at the hearts of all those involved. If we were to see a panoramic view, we could see if we had if God gave us a peekaboo of the hearts of those that was involved in not even regarding David. You know, we know that he was anointed to be the king, but his family, his dad didn't even bring him in. When the prophet showed up, his brothers knew he was outside. And then, you know, with the story you brought out today about Goliath, how he assumed, who was this coming out here against me? And you know, and we saw the heart of David. He had courage. He had faith that God could bring him through. And I began to think about, you know, when, you know, we all have go through adversities in one time or another. And God looks at our hearts, how we look at our brother and sister, or, you know, those that are not saved, how maybe their plight, if they're homeless or what have you, what we think about the rich or what have you. But when God begins to turn it around, I heard you say God is turning it around. The humble thing about it and the impactful thing about it that touched my heart was when he turns it around, when we have the right heart that pleases God, because God really wants to show himself strong. He wants to show himself strong so that he can see the smiles on our faces that he brought us out, that he turned it around. And so, yes, it'll put, someone may not have a happy smile on their face if they disdained you, if they look down on you, whether they're saved or not, because God looks at the heart. So if God delights, and he does delight in picking up those that are downtrodden and picking up those who have been lied on and picked on. He picks them out, and he begins to show forth his glory, that what you thought about them, I want you to know what I think about them. And so he's glorified in that he loves us all, but he also is glorified when he says, you know, you could have stretched out your withered hand. You did what you could do, but I said it right in the heart, right in the face of the heart of, you know, Pharisees and Sadducees, to stretch out your hand. So with the effort that we try to press on through, God is able to make up the difference. He is able to show up and show out and turn it around and be glorified. And just like the man that was at the pool of Bethesda when Peter, and then when they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. When he began to receive that miracle and began to leap in joy with rejoicing into the temple, they looked at this man, but they seen him when he was withered, when he was, you know, laying by the pool of Bethesda. But Jesus walked by, and the encouraging thing about the turnaround is that we don't know when or how it's going to happen. But if God has already concluded and decided that this is what I desire to do, he will proclaim it, he will declare it, he will confirm it. But then he wants to look at the heart. So we have to be so careful with the condition of our heart, that where we say, oh, I can't wait till my breakthrough. Oh, I can't wait till I've overcome this obstacle. God wants us to overcome the obstacle. But what we cannot do, he is able, just like David had the five smooth stones and the one that knocked the giant down. God's power, the wind behind the effort, is able to bring us out by his mighty hand and his stretched out arm. So I just wanted to just say glory to God for the message today, because it is definitely fire. And I do agree, in my spirit, feels a confirmation that God is going to turn it around. And God bless you, man of God.
Amen. God bless you too, woman of God. And yes, he is. He is definitely going to turn this thing around. Amen. Definitely going to
turn
it around.
Amen. Amen. No, I'm turned around.
Amen.
I'm not turning around. I'm turned around.
Glory. Glory.
I need one amen. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Here it goes. 706. Oh, I know I was going to get one out of San Diego. 706, last four, 7066. You're live on the Prophet's Closet. Welcome.
Good evening. This is Elder
evening.
Solomon. Great job, my brother. Me and Elder Dwayne have been through a lot together, and good friend of mine, and it does my heart well to just be on the call tonight. And I just want to say this to each and every one of us on the line, that God is doing a new thing, and there's nothing like true ministry. God is pleased tonight, and I do believe we all go through some things in life. And whatever we go through, the enemy, he try to be so clever at what he do, like we cannot achieve. And as I told my brother tonight, and I say this to anybody that's on the line, when you truly love God unconditional, don't throw in the towel. I don't care what it looked like, what it feels like. God love each and every one of you on this phone tonight, and I believe that there is a harvest that's going to be sowed in each and every one of your lives. Out of all the hell and all the things that you've been through, God has not forgot. And I just believe tonight that blessings is already here. So go ahead and start accepting what God has for you, because I had church hurt. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to be misled. And I told my brother tonight, you know, he's a special person, because I know some things that he endured, and he always takes the time to love and to share God's business with other people. And that is a blessing, because I remember the time when I was weak and I couldn't stand. And when I lost my marriage, he was there for me. When I was a member to a mega church, not one person reached out to me. Not one person helped me. But this man, you know, he was there night and day for me. And I will never forget that. And thank God that I'm in a place now that God loves me so much and I'm so blessed. And I just, man, when I tell you I feel like I don't deserve it, but I know if God gave it to me, I know I deserve it. So I'm saying to each and every one of you, never give up. Continue to do what you're doing. And God ain't nothing but bad to the bone, and he's going to bless each and every one of y'all. And I don't know you, but I love each and every one of you, and continue to be encouraged.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, bro. I appreciate you, man, and we're going to be talking after this. Amen.
Amen.
Is there
amen,
anybody
amen.
Who don't
bless
know
you, bless you.
Who don't know God? Is there anybody
yeah,
who don't
about
know
that
the
one.
Lord?
You talking about that one, right?
That one, yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that one that just don't even know why you're on the line. Don't know how you got on the line, but you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. But you've heard something that changed your whole perception. You've been thinking that God was a condemner and God was a punisher and God was trying to ruin you. No, God is trying to give you life, but you have to
yes.
make a change. And you have to make a change now to see him in the new, not in the old, not in the tomorrow, not because yesterday is finished and today is sufficient for itself. So I'm just going to almost preach. Stop, Pastor E. Amen. Anybody out there, come on, dial one, get in the conversation. Prophet, you did it. You have sparked the fire in us tonight. I thank you for encouraging me and continuing to let me come in to the prophet's closet and be a part.
Oh, man, I love you, bro. I love you, man. There ain't nothing you can do about it.
You don't have
I
no choice. You don't have a choice.
I know, right?
You don't have a choice. Like, that's what I'm saying about faith. You know, about faith and belief and trust and everything. When you are a believer, I'm not talking about just a label or a denomination. A believer, because I think the first prerequisite that God said, he says, for God so loved the world that whosoever,
believe,
that's all you had to do was become a believer, then you will not perish but have everlasting life. If we can start to see that a little bit more clear throughout all the genres, all the different religions, all the different colors and races, that if we become believers, Matthew 18 says, you know, you won't get in unless you become converted as little children, believers. Come on, let's start believing together that we have the same belief in God, the same trust in God, and the same understanding of God. We're not talking different stuff. And you're like, wait a minute, that don't sound clear. We must start to hone in on the sound of God that we have agreement. And I'm glad that you got that sound, bro. God bless. Pray us out of here.
Hey, man, God bless you too, bro. I mean, I just appreciate everybody on the line, those who are listening, Apostle James Miller, a friend of mine out of Las Vegas, Nevada, Pastor Frank and his wife, Sabrina, Pastor Sabrina, Elder Solomon, those who are close and near and dear to me. Thank God for each and every one of you. And even in the midst of what y'all have gone through, you know, y'all have stood the test of time. That just came straight out. You have stood the test of time. Don't allow any circumstances from this day forward to stop the time that's in your life. There's some things that we go through that kind of stunts us and tries to stop us from time. Time is very valuable. Y'all have stood the test of time. And y'all are going to continue to stand the test of time. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of y'all on here tonight and those who are listening to me. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you praise. We give you honor. Lord, bless their homes like never before. Bless their finances, God. Bless their marriages. Bless everything about them in the name of Jesus. And Father, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. I give you all the honor. And I thank you, God, for what you're getting ready to do in the lives of the believers. I thank you for what you're getting ready to do in the lives of the believers. Now, Father, I stand in agreement with each and every one of him, ladies on here, men on here, God, that are praying, Father God, earnestly towards you, Father. I stand right there in the gap with them, Father God, believing on their behalf of what you're getting ready to do in their lives. Lord, bring that book to fruition right now for that person who's writing the book. Lord, I thank you for diabetes not being in this person's life any longer. I thank you for the heart and pressure of blood pressure, God, for coming normal now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for that person who's having problems with their hearing, God, that you will begin to now open the ears, the airways of the ears, God, that they may hear clearer now. And Father, we give you praise. We thank you and we give you honor. And all the glory belongs to you, God. Be glorified, God, and be magnified in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let every heart on here say amen. 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 God bless you all. You are just now getting ready to exit out of the prophet's closet. God bless you. Glory, thank you. Thank you, God. Glory. My God, glory. Thank you.
We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up.
Everybody.